There wasn't no post toasties to that, was there? Amen. That's real. That's meat. Amen. That's meat. Oh, I tell you, I'm surprised. I'm just amazed at how some folks can get along on so little. Just so little. But I guarantee you, I like meat like that. Where God just slabs you off a great big heavenly steak, about that thick. It's just good and brown on the outside, you know, and just cut down any kind of pink, you know, and kind of hit it with that heavenly Worcestershire sauce, you know. And just lay it right back in there and just begin to chew on it. And that juice just begins to go down. The vitamins, you know, surreal in it, amen. And you get strength from that, brother. That'll do you good, amen. Oh, listen. So many folks are satisfied with these little sermonettes that's designed for Christianettes. They can't wait to get to the kitchenette to smoke their ciggy at, amen. Amen. I got to have something real, folks, something real that'll stay with you when the battle's on. Praise God for Brother Robert Taylor. I met him, some years ago. I was just thinking how coincidental it was. I, last week, was at the New Berlin Baptist Church in Ocean Way, Florida. And that's the first place I ever met Brother Robert. That's the very first place that I ever saw him. And I was there in revival last week. And what a thrill it was to see him tonight. And to be with him in service and enjoy the wonderful word of God that he's preached to our hearts. I believe this is going to be one of the greatest camps that we've ever been in. I mean that. Glad to see some fellows and their wives come in. Brother Ron Garris from down at Baldwin, Florida, at the Grace Baptist Church. Glad to see he and Judy and Scott come in. And then glad to see Brother Larry Montgomery, his wife and two children come in from the Nassau Baptist Temple down near Fernandina, Florida. Glad to see Brother Clyde. All of these preachers, we're glad to have you here tonight. And God's done great things for us, whereof we're glad. Now, open your Bibles, please. Brother Sammy, is this just a little bit loud? Is it all right? Fine. All right, now. That's fine. Now, if you have to turn it down a little while, after a while, just help yourself. Verse 7 in the 20th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Verse 7, the 20th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. We're going to read some there and then bring the message as the Lord deals with our hearts. Boy, how timely that message was. There wasn't a preacher here tonight that wasn't soaking that message in. Amen? I was. I mean, I've been down lots of times myself. I mean that. Amen. I've been, woo! My wife, you know, bless her heart, she didn't have to nudge Mr. Hart, you know. He was saying, you've been down. She'd nudge, she said, he preaching to you, preacher? And I said, amen, amen. Amen. I was kind of hoping you'd get around to her after a while. I want to kind of nudge her back. Amen. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 7. Now, I'm sure this is a familiar portion of the Word of God to you, but just let me kind of refresh your minds just a little bit and kind of condense it for you if you haven't looked at it recently. Here's a man that's in the very place that Brother Robert was preaching about. Here's a man that's standing identically where this man that's just finished preaching was preaching about. He's come to the place that, well, he's down, he's discouraged, and, he goes a little bit farther than some. As you'll see as we read, he's just about to throw in the towel. And let's read verse 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I. Thou hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a decision daily. And then said I, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Our Heavenly Father, take us, dear Lord, in your blessed hands. And God, may the anointing of God be ours. And dear Lord, help these dear men of God. Lord, help them to pray for me as they would have me to pray for them if they were standing where I'm standing right now. Lord, I know I can't preach. I've never learned how, and how I thank you for that. I thank you, dear Lord, that November the 23rd, 1943, you called me to preach. I praise your name, Lord, that today, though the battle's been long, you've been faithful. You've loved us and cared for us and never forsaken us. And Lord, now we look to thee and depend upon thee for power. Set a guard before our lips that we would say nothing that would be offensive to thy blessed Holy Spirit. God, may we be directed in our thinking. God, may we lose sight of man. And God, I pray that we will get another glimpse of Lord of Jesus Christ, loving enough to die for us. We'll thank and praise you in Christ's blessed name. Amen and amen. I know today we're living in a time when men are on every hand seemingly throwing in the towel and calling it quits. Now, I say, like Brother Robert did a while ago, let's don't be too hasty. Let's don't judge them so rashly. But, brethren, if there's a thing that we need to do today is pray for the man of God. He's going through a time like he's never went through in all of his days, in all of his life. I know in my own ministry, I've been preaching many years now, and I've never faced a day like I'm facing in this hour right now. Now, I was thinking so much of what our brother said a minute ago. I'm away from home on an average of 9 months out of every year. My lot in life, and I'm not telling you a sad story, my lot in life, my friend, can be considered by some to be quite lonely. After I leave the services at night, I go to a motel room and the door is closed. And nobody but a man that's lived this kind of life can know the loneliness that will follow you to that motel room when you're hundreds of miles away from your family. But also there's something else that'll come to that motel room with you, and that's the spirit of the devil. Amen. He'll torment you. He'll bring everything that he can to get you down in that very hour as you're laying there. And as you're thinking about home and your family and your wife, how many times the devil has invaded that room where I've slept. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you, a friend of mine, I believe we're living in a day when there's more demon spirits turned loose on God's men than there ever has been in all the world. Have you ever been down lately praying and seemed like suddenly your mind was caught off way over yonder? Have you ever had the Bible in your hands and reading it from the Word of God and suddenly your mind was way down yonder? Amen? How many has that ever happened to? I'll tell you, then you go to bed and go to sleep and the devil invades your dream life. Amen? I'm telling you the truth. All right. And shut up tonight. Judge a man too harshly. And so men seemingly are throwing in the towel and calling it quits. And said, I'm giving up. I'm just laying down my Bible. I'm quitting. There's no need for me to keep on going on. I might as well just quit. And Jeremiah said, I won't speak anymore in his name. I'll just shut my mouth. I'll quit the ministry. I'll just throw in the towel and quit. But after a while, he said, it's shut up in my bones. Amen. And I can't stay. Hallelujah. I want to preach on some things tonight. Here's some texts that I want to share with you. I'll tell you tonight, and I trust it'll bless your heart, some things that keep me from quitting are some reasons why I can't quit. Amen. I know today that a lot of men are discouraged and a lot of men are giving up. But I'm glad tonight there are some reasons that keeps me going on. Hallelujah. I know today there are some things that'll make you discouraged. When I see the unconcernedness of the people of God, amen, that'll discourage any preacher. Amen. When a man's prayed and stayed before God and tried to prepare to preach, and you see folks shaking old Mickey Mouse to see what time it is, and they're timing you, and my friends see them sitting there asleep, unconcerned. Many of them got their own children that's lost without God. I know that's enough to make you just almost want to throw in the towel. But brother, I'm glad, glory to God, there are some reasons I can't quit. Amen. Number one, the first reason I can't quit is when I look at the Savior. Amen.
God. Let me tell you something right now. There's too many preachers that's got the congregation looking at them. But it's not me you need to see. It's a glimpse of Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you something right now. I'll tell you when your church will start dying. It's when, my friend, you're propagating yourself more than you are Jesus. Amen. It's Him they need to see. Amen. That's one of the reasons I can't quit. When I see how much He loved me, when I see that He condescended and came down in this little land of sin and sorrow, when I look up and hear Him say, Father, I'll go and come down in this little land of sin and sorrow, when I see Him, hallelujah, bless the Lord of my soul, loving me when I was so unlovely, caring for me when I didn't care, the son of an ex-bootlegger, glory to God, a sawmill shack liver, glory to God, oh my soul, that loved me so much that He was willing to come down and die for me. Hallelujah. That's the reason I can't quit. Amen. Amen. Do you know when you're going to decide to quit? When you get your eyes off of Him. You know when Peter went down? It's when he saw the waves instead of the one that made them. That's when you'll go down too. Amen. Some of you preachers right now, you probably already got your resignation wrote out. Now I'll tell you, when you wrote it out, get your head up. I'll let you know when we're going to pray. Look at me. Look at me. Amen. I'll tell you, when you wrote it out, is when you said, Lord, they've torn down the altars. They're looking for me. That's when you wrote it out. Amen. I'll tell you, when you'll do your best preaching, is when you got your eyes on Him. Amen. Do you preachers remember when you started out preaching? You had that dime store Bible with a zipper around it. And you had memorized John 3:16, and there wasn't a question in the Bible you couldn't answer. Amen? You'd tackle any of them. Amen. You know John 3:16? And brother, there wasn't nothing you couldn't answer. But I want to tell you something. Did you ever come to the end of yourself in a message? Amen? Get up to preach and just say, duh. You really thought you was hooked up and got there and found out you was unplugged. Amen. I remember one time I found out, I was a young Christian, I found out they were going to call on me to pray. And I went out back in the woods and I got down and I made me a prayer. Wrote it out. I mean, I perfected that thing. I made it and then edited it. I cut all the rough corners off. I polished that prayer. I mean, I had it made like you ain't never heard one in your life. I read it and got to crying myself. I just knowed it was going to be too powerful for them. I just knowed they'd never be able to stand it. I could close my eyes and see bonnets in their hair. I saw people passing out under the power. I was a dandy. I ain't never heard one like it before then or since. But I want to tell you something. I had it all fixed. I mean, listen. You know this program, Impossible or something. I mean, I had everything figured out. Had my zipper overalls on. And I got back behind the benches so I could put my prayer down in here. And when they called on me, I was going to get down between the pew and pull my prayer out and lay it right down before me. And I had my voice. I could get them all in pear-shaped tones coming out, you know. I'd even got out and practiced and said, me, 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 me. And they said, the leading prayer. I said, they'll never be able to take it. Use and unzip my bib. That's the deepest I ever reached in a pocket in my life. I went down in the corner over in this corner. I mean, I fell. I like to throw that pocket off trying to find that prayer. But it was gone. And you know what my prayer turned out to be? Oh, me. I found out right there, brother. You can't preach. You can't pray. You can't sing. There's nothing you can do that's worthwhile until you get your eyes on him. Crucified one. He's the only one that'll have you. Hallelujah, anyhow. He's the reason I can't quit. Hallelujah to God. Some of you said, oh, you don't understand my situation.
Why don't you shut up?
In 27 years of this battleground, there ain't many places you've been in that I've been there too.
Amen.
I'm like Burmese, said one time. I've been accused of everything except stealing nigger babies and taking wives. And that's probably been told by now. I've had it all told on. I've been tucked to Supreme Court. I've been lied to. You name it, it's been said. Somebody said, why don't you quit? I quit. When I see him, hallelujah, I'll say I said, in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, by stripes, when I see him hanging between the heavens and the earth, and his knees mired, and his whiskers pulled out, and spittle running down to his face, and his back laid open, when I see him hanging there, and the sun refused to shine, and the rocks begin to ring, and to wreck, hallelujah, when I look at him, I can't quit. Hallelujah to God. Amen. You know why you're quitting? You've been feeling sorry for yourself. You don't like me no more. They won't even shake hands with my wife no more. Them been mean to me. Don't appreciate me no more. Won't even buy me a birthday present. You hound. You hound. The very reason you're quitting is because you're sorry for yourself. Amen. Get the head up. You look at me. I mean, I'm all my boy. See, a lot of preachers have to preach with their eyes closed, but I don't have to. I can eyeball you. I can look right at you. Hallelujah, anyhow. He's the reason I can't quit. He loved me when I was unlovely. He cared when I didn't care. He saved me when I ought to go to hell. I can't quit. Amen. When I look at him, I can't quit. When I look at him. When I say they talked about me, he said they did me too. When I said they don't like me no more, Lord, he said they didn't like me either. When I said they've been mean to me, Lord, he said, son, they've been mean to me too. Amen. Amen. Why, you said, preacher, you just don't know how bad they are to me. You just don't know how bad they are to me. You don't know what they've done to me, preacher. Well, folks, if you just get a look at Calvary, what you went through will seem so little. Oh, no wonder that old songwriter said, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen. So the reason I can't quit is when I look at him. Number one. Number two, the reason I can't quit is when I look at the saint. Amen. Oh, when I look at the Savior, I can't quit. And then when I look at the saint, I can't quit. Amen. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Ed, when you look at the saint? Brother, I get the feeling sorry for myself. And God always does send one of his old saints around to cheer me up. Amen. I remember one time I was way down in Central Florida in revival. No, listen. They didn't know it, but I was so discouraged. I thought I was going through such a hard battle and thought all the thing was so rough. One day, we was in revival, and the preacher said, one of my members wants you to come out, you and I to come out and have dinner with her. And I said, that's all right with me. We got in an old four-wheel drive vehicle and started out down through some swampland. Some of the times I didn't know whether we were going to make it or not. And after a while, we drove up to nothing more, nothing less than just an old shack. I mean that literally in the fullest sense. It was a shack. No windows, an old rusty tin roof. And we drove up, and the windows had shutters on them. And we drove up. And as we drove up, there's an old lady stepped up out of her house. I mean that literally. She stepped up over a doorstop, and the house didn't have no floor in it. Didn't have no floor in it. And she was drying her hands off on a little white faded out apron. And she said, preachers, and she began to shout. Said, Lord, you've let some preachers come to see me. Amen. He said, come in, preachers. I just about got dinner ready. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, by then, I'm telling you, my feet have had took an itching spell. I was on holy ground. Amen. Amen. I stepped over onto that old floor, and she had it just swept. You see, back down before they got lawnmowers, how the old folks used to sweep the yards? She had that sand swept just as pretty. Oh, every just thing was so smooth. And when you walked through the house, you left tracks in the sand. No, listen. She shouted for a while and said, oh, it's so good to have preachers to come to see me. Amen. And she ran up to me and patted me on the cheeks. Oh, she said, are you an angel? I never have felt like an angel before. But I started to flutter my wings. Amen. Woo! She had two little bitty nail kegs with some little bitty ruffled pieces of cloth around them. And a little bitty pillar of a sort on top of each one of them. She said, preacher, you sit down on this. And pastor, you sit down on this. And I'll have dinner ready in just a minute. And an old wood stove with a flue run out the side of the wall. I'm a getting drunker than I ever been in my life. And her table was a piece of an old enamel stove with some nails drove down through the corner, some old legs, and that enamel had flaked off. When you think, my friend, God hasn't still got some young'uns around here, you're sadly mistaken. Amen. There's a young preacher one time said, oh, that crowd's against us. Oh, there's too many that's against us. That old preacher said, Lord, open that young man's eyes. And all of a sudden, over yonder on the mountainside, God has some horsehead that was pawing in the abyss. God still got some saints. Amen. Hallelujah, anyhow. You go lollygagging around, said, I'm by myself. I'm the only preacher that's preaching nowadays. I ought to box your jaws. You got the place you thought you was the only one, didn't you? This may come as a shock to you, but God's got some more besides me and you. Amen? And that old thing said, sit down. We sat down at that little old enamel top table. And she had two little bowls. One of them had some butter beans in it. Wow! And another one had, I don't remember what, just a little bit of something in the bowl. And she tore one piece of bread in two and laid a half a piece here for him and said, I got some of the best water you've ever drank. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, when you got to feeling sorry for yourself, when you had two cars in the garage and two bathrooms in the house and air conditioning and central heat, amen, and groceries in the closet, oh, you couldn't appreciate God. But that old woman sat down and said, help yourself. Hallelujah. I said, I'll have some butter beans, please. Woo! I dip me out some and some more of whatever's out of the bowl. The preacher helped himself. I'm honest, you'll laugh at me if you will. But Milford Biddles, I went back to that bowl again and again. Again and again. Never been as hungry in my life. I eat butter beans out of the preacher, eat butter beans, and I hold my hands up. I never did see the bottom of that bowl. Amen.
Maybe harder to get off of you and Melly Cairo, sir. Brother, God saved me and called me to preach, but he never made no coward out of me. Amen. That old boy got rebellious. It broke out on him. Been there in that fine home his daddy had prepared for him. He never worked for him. Imagine that old boy got him a pack of Duke smoking tobacco and let the tag hang out where it blows. Oh, you can tell this boy's with it. He's groovy. Cool, too. He's way out. He's a living in. He digs it. I don't know what all that means, but that's him. Amen. But somebody said, what had happened to him? Rebellion had happened to him. It broke out on him. Some of you little old boys and girls, God bless your heart. You've reached that tender age where you think you know more than your daddies and mamas are. But I want to tell you something, hot shots, you're heading for trouble. They may not can tell you nothing, and they may even snarl your nose when you get behind their back, but they've lived longer than you've lived. They do know more than you know, and they are trying to help you. If you've not got some sense to know it, they're trying to help you.
You never worked for the clothes on your back. You never put the meal on the table. You never sweated blood for it. But then you've got the audacity and the mitigated gall to rise back and say, they ain't going to tell me what to do. Or to knock a knot on your head so high you have to climb a ladder to scratch it. Box your jaws, amen.
I say, box your jaws. I'm a going to.
Did I ever tell you how I got to be the world's champion kindling cutter? Oh, I am. I mean, I am. My daddy one time, I walked in the house and I said, Daddy, I'm a-going somewhere. So help me, God, lightning struck. I woke up over in the corner. I shook my head and didn't know what in the world happened. Got back up. Whoop, hit me again. I got back up a third time, you know. Hit me again. Daddy said, when you talk to me like a man, I'll treat you like a man. It wasn't lightning. It was his big old fist. My daddy told me one day, he said, Ed, when I come in tonight, I want that wood box full. I want kindling to the side of it. I forgot it. Oh, God. Oh, God in heaven. Daddy come in that night, said, where's the kindling? I said, oh, God, I forgot it. He said, come on, boy, we got to have a talk. Woo! You talk about a one-sided conversation.
Hallelujah to God. Hear me, praise the Lord. God still got some saints. Amen. Hallelujah in his hand. Oh, you say, I'm about to quit. quit. There ain't nobody around. God still got some young'uns. Amen. Yeah. You and your juniper bush. Amen. I'll venture to say, ooh, like a patty pie, don't you? You whiner and belly acre. Amen. Hallelujah. 7:30. Got plenty of time. Amen. Amen. Glory to God in this house. I can't quit when I look at the foes of the saints. Amen. Hallelujah. I can't quit when I look at the feebleness of the saints. I can't quit when I look at the food of the saints. Hallelujah. Oh, if I preached all this, I'd be up here when the morning sun rose. Amen. But I'm glad God's got some young'uns. They're there on the hillside. The Bible said, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud. Oh, hallelujah. They're there, glory to God, and waving the flag, and saying, keep on, don't let down, it's better, Father, on, keep on going, don't let down now. Hallelujah, in it. Glory. Now all of you preachers would like to preach, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. Somebody said, oh, preacher Blue, I'm just going to give up. Well, look at the saint, I can't. There used to be an old lady up here in adjoining county. They said she was a little senile. Well, that's just a fancy word to say she's crazy. She used to go along in the summertime when they hauled cotton on the wagons. And when the locks would fall off of the wagon, she'd pick them up, little locks of cotton. She'd take them home, that little old house she lived in, and she'd pick the seeds out of them by hand. And some of you old-timers will know what I'm talking about. Now, when she got enough of that cotton, she'd card it. And she'd do that till she had enough to make a quilt. She'd hang them old quilt rings up in that living room. And every stitch was made with prayer. You'd go by that old house, an old shack, hear a little squeaking voice, you wouldn't want an album of it. A little old bitty weak voice singing. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. She'd pick blackberries in the summertime and make jelly. And when you got sick in the wintertime, she'd find somebody that you'd think you'd never find nobody as unfortunate as she, but you'd find them. And said, I've been making a quilt just for you. And said, I canned some good blackberry jelly and I brought it over thinking you might want some. Hallelujah. Before she died, I'd lost track of her, knowing not where she's at. She could take when you had a high fever, that old saint would take a washcloth,
Just a plain old wash rag. And wait it and put on your forehead. It felt so good. Before she died, she sent for me. I found her, of all places, in the county poorhouse. I got there before she died. She couldn't hardly see. She said, "Is that you, Ed?" And I said, "Yes, I'm Aunt Ellen. It's me." "Oh," she said, "you got here just right." Said, "I'm about to go on home." She said, "I believe I'll sing you a song, Ed." I said, "Hallelujah. Do it." She started by singing, "My strongest trials now are past. My triumph is begun. Oh, come, angel band, come and around." I started looking for him. Amen. Glory! When I look at the saint, I can't quit. Hallelujah! Old Dr. Weigel, that great old soldier that wrote that song, "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus." He was over in Campbell's Clinic, I believe, in Chattanooga. The old man kept telling the nurses, "I want to go home. I want to go home." And he lived over at Tennessee Temple, you know, and they said, "Dr. Weigel, you can't go home yet." "Oh, I want to go home. Let me go on home." Old Dr. Lee Robinson came in one day, and the nurses was in there, and he was standing there. Old Dr. Weigel said, "Dr. Lee, I want to go home." And the nurses said, "Dr. Lee, he's been just talking, wanting to go home." Said, "Tell him he can't." "Oh," the old doctor said, "he ain't wanting to go back over to school. He just wanting to go on home." When I get to grumbling and look along the way and find some old saints that has battled the storm and has fought the devil and stood up against the foes of this world, brother, I can't quit. I can't quit. Hallelujah. Next of all, 7:30. Amen. I can't quit. Bless you, dear heart, when I look at the sinner. Amen. I can't quit when I look at the sinner. Amen. You know, a lot of evangelists, told me the other day, said a while back, said, "I don't see why you mess with these little old bitty churches. Don't let them find out what a time I'm having. They'd be sure to want to get in on it." Amen. Amen. Hallelujah anyhow. Amen. Why, bless the name of God. Somebody said, "Oh, Preacher Blue, Tina, stand up, honey. Come up here to Daddy just a minute. Come here to Daddy. Come here to Daddy, honey. Come here, baby. This is my little girl. I haven't even got to watch her grow up. I come in home every week and she's changed. I don't even get to see her grow up. My little old grandsons, I leave one time and come back and they're talking. I haven't even got to see them grow up. My phone bill gets awful high sometimes, Brother Robert. I just got to talk to them a little bit. I just got to. Amen. Oh, baby. Stand up, darling. Stand up over there. That's my wife. I want to go on record to tell you that's my sweetheart. I still send her flowers. You laugh if you want to. I believe it ought to be that way in your life. I still write her love letters. Yeah, I do. I ain't ashamed. I was going through Birmingham some time ago, and I saw a florist shop, and I just stopped and wired her some flowers. God gave her to me. I'd never saw her till when I got out of the Army, March 1946. And one night she came to a cottage prayer meeting where I was at, and she walked through the door behind her mama and another sister. The Holy Ghost said, "There's your wife. Thank you, honey." We got married 3 weeks later. That's 27 years ago. Now somebody said, "Brother Ed, why is it that you stay away from home? Is the money prospects? I ought to knock a knot on your head, you'd have to climb a ladder to scratch. If that's what you think, honey, you're crippled too high for crutches. What I'm trying to say is you're a nut. Amen. Billy Kelly, I love my family. And this may sound sissy, but I cry myself to sleep at night. I love to be with them. I love for that little old grandson to come run up across the yard and say, "Papa, papa, 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 papa," and get right down under his neck and say, "Who sugared that boy?" And he said, "Papa." Boy, that's the best sugar in the world. That may be slobbers to somebody, but boy, that's sugar to a papa. Amen, Milford Bentles. Somebody said, "What is it that keeps you out there away from your family? What is it that'll make you set yourself up in an old lonely motel room? What is it that'll make you pack that suitcase and head for an airport? What is it that'll make you say goodbye to your family and live in a strange town, eat strange food, drink strange water, live in a strange bed? What is it that'll make you do that? It's sinners that make me do that. When I look at them, I can't do nothing else but go. If you're going for any other reason, honey, you're going for the wrong reason." These little preachers will call me and said, "Will you come and help me?" And I said, "As soon as I get an opening, I'll come." And they said, "Well, we can't pay you much." I said, "Hush right there. If God's in it, He'll take care of it." Amen. And I go. We fly over to the islands. I was there in a meeting last summer. Old Brother Ron Garris was there with me. One service, a little black girl, about 14-year-old, come down the aisle. That British accent, said, tears just poured. She said, "Sir, I desire to be saved." I said, "Honey, He desires to save you." Amen. I work with the Choctaw and Creek Indians a lot in Oklahoma. They're poor folks. But oh, glory to God, oh my soul. When I can see the old copper-colored skin coming down that aisle, that face looking like a rock, and get to me and said, I want to be saved. That's why I can't quit, amen. That's why I can't quit, amen. Glory to God to my soul. Now let me go on. I know it's just 7:30. I can't quit when I look at the sinner. I can't quit when I look at the saint. I can't quit when I look at the Savior. And then I can't quit when I look at the judgment seat. Amen. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm not looking forward to that. Mm-mm. Oh, you say you're afraid about being lost? No, boy. Mm-mm. Oh, God. Oh, God. He said, "Preacher Ruth, I ain't done nothing I'm ashamed of. Boy, I can't say that. Boy, I can't say that. I just have to be honest with you, I can't say that. I've done some old ugly things." "Oh, you said that before I got saved." "Now let's just be honest. Don't sit there and lie to me. I ain't growed no wings yet. No. And there's a judgment seat coming, folks. And each day when I look up and remember it, that seat's coming. It makes me want to live just a little closer. Not quit. No, when I see the Bema seat, I don't want to quit. I just want to keep on keeping on. Oh, I want to make that record just a little cleaner. Hallelujah." My wife come to get me one day at the airport. We got in. My little girl Tina had took a white piece of paper about as wide as the book board here and put it across the end of the carport. And with a piece of red crayon, it said on there, "Welcome home, Daddy." Oh, of all the things, of all the things I want to hear is to hear him say, "Welcome home." You say, "Preacher Boo, there's some things in my life I don't want there. I'm just about ready to quit. I've been so discouraged. Brother Sammy, can I give an invitation? Can I? Come on, girls, to the instruments. I just got to do this. I feel like maybe there's some preacher here. Maybe there's some Sunday school teacher here. Maybe there's some old evangelist. That old suitcase about wore out. Maybe there's somebody here right now that just said, I'm about to throw in the towel. Maybe tonight what you need is a trip down to the old altars. Oh, God. Oh, God. I want to keep on traveling on. Brother Turner, get your song ready. What's it going to be?
"Have Thine Own Way."
That's a good one, Brother Turner. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. It's all right, ain't it, Sam? I know it is. Sammy, help me watch, boy. I wonder if somebody here right now said, "Preacher, I come to this Thanksgiving meeting, this Jubilee. I have to admit it, heart's kind of heavy. I said, when I get back home, might as well just kind of throw in the towel. Everybody's turned against me. Ain't nobody loves me no more. Preacher, I've been so discouraged. Maybe there's a Sunday school teacher about ready to go to that pastor and say, Pastor, ain't but just a few little boys and girls coming to that class. I might as well just quit. Preacher, maybe you've already begun to look for pasteboard boxes to pack in. I wonder if there's somebody right now that said, Preacher, God's dealt with my heart tonight. I'll have to admit it, I was about defeated. I was just about ready to throw in the old towel, and I was so discouraged. I wonder if you just raise up your hand and say, Preacher Blue, I raise my hand and say, I need prayer. Will you raise it up right now? There's one, two. There's another, amen. I wonder if there's another back there anywhere that said, Brother Ed, God has dealt with my old heart tonight. Will you raise that hand and say, pray for me? Come on. Come on, raise it up high. Raise it up high. There are some that raise their hands. Two people, I believe, raise their hands. Our Father, if that's the only two it was worth preaching for. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Help us in these dark days to be faithful. Not to be weary in well-doing. For we'll reap in due season if we faint not. Lord, have your way as we stand to sing this old hymn. Have thine own way. In his name, anybody needs to come, help them to do it right now. In Jesus' name, let's stand. Brother.